www.overcomers.ca. The Royal Ephod, Chapter 3, The Calling Applied. There is a true ephod and there is a false ephod. The true ephod is experienced by any son or daughter of God who is willing to lay down their lives completely to overcome all things and be found in Christ without their own righteousness, which comes by religious works. That true ephod comes as a calling, which is accompanied by an anointing. The false ephod is built entirely by the offerings of one's own wealth and ability, and the ability to perform religious works. The true ephod is found in the description of the ephod from various verses of Scripture, from Exodus 25:7, where it is first mentioned, to Exodus 39:22, where it is last mentioned in its description. There are then dozens more verses to follow, which compare the true and the false ephod, as well as Israel in contention with God by not having any ephod, Hosea 3:4. The false ephod's first example is shown in the life of Gideon. Although he was a true prophet of the Lord, he created a false ephod which became a stumbling block to his personal family and all the children of Israel, which went a-whoring after it, Judges 8:27. This ephod which Gideon made was built by offerings of gold and precious stones from the peoples of Succoth, which were brothels and tents for impure purposes, and Peniel, the face of God. In other words, the ephod built by the misguided prophet was built from a people filled with mixture. What mixture? The mix between flesh and spirit. As God's overcomers, we must first admit that we are not yet just spirit. We are also beset by flesh and fleshly sins and iniquities which go alongside our spirit. Both are growing up together. The flesh becoming more and more contrary to God and His Word. The spirit coming more and more into the maturity of our calling as sons and daughters. The ephod Gideon built was made outside of the pattern given to Moses and was therefore cast aside as a snare. I said all that to show in this blog how we are in a quandary in this hour. We desire to walk in spirit, but are still beset by flesh and the carnal mind. But let me leave that issue and concentrate on spirit and the calling of God to overcome all things. And just to quickly review, Gideon built his false ephod with offerings of gold and precious stones from the people of Succoth, which was a place of brothels and tents used for impure purposes, and Peniel, which was the face of God. That shows the mixture. Now back into seeing God's fullness in the ephod and how to walk in spirit. Picture this in your mind. God brings a soul to salvation in Christ. Then over the process of time and growth, that person applies sections of the Word of God into their own lives to become 1. Separate from the world. 2. Separate unto God. 3. Separate from the world by persecution from the religious of the world. 4. Separate from God in their thinking at times because of the iniquities of their own flesh. The time comes when God calls one to come out from among them, the religious and personal religious / iniquitous efforts, and be ye separate. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. There comes a time in the life of a son or daughter of God when they receive the high calling to overcome. Not everyone will hear this calling. Only a few that God in his sovereignty chooses for this place. These overcomers are separated from everything else in this world, separate from family ties, from societies, from clubs, meetings, groups, churches, establishment, and anything political. It is my personal belief that the sons and daughters of God that are called this way are priests unto the Lord, and in time unto the inhabitants of the world, just like Christ as he intercedes for us on our behalf. They too are in training to be the link between man and God, and God and man. But it is not just a link, but more. They are in training to be those who will be called overcomers. There they stand, at the ready, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. A decision in their minds is to forsake everything else and follow Christ whithersoever he goes. Revelation 14:1. They have had attributes of God already applied to them. His grace, his spirit, the fruit of his spirit, denoted and typified by the garments of the high priest in Exodus, there they stand, nearly complete. Then comes the final touch, the completion of their calling, but the beginning of God's intimate inworkings, the application of the ephod. This ephod, being applied to them, becomes one with their calling. It is a positive proof of the separation from all other things, and at the same time, it is positive proof of their calling to, in time, become one with all other things. This ephod gives the assent of royalty to those who thus wear and adorn this upon their spiritual lives. In this hour, the overcomers wear the holy royal ephod of God in spirit, and nothing can separate them from it. I see two natures or two pictures worked into an overcomer. Speaking from personal experience, I can see God working two ways in the lives of those who would conquer their own flesh, the life of the world, and the death of the world. They have the nature of Moses and the nature of Elijah working in them. These two witnesses comprise the true body of Christ in the earth and are typified by Moses and Elijah. An overcomer has both working in them. Revelation 11, verses 3 to 19. What I see is that the ephod represents the Moses company, those who obey the commandments of God and keep the faith of Christ. Revelation 14, 12. Not that they are bound to the law of the Old Testament order, but that the law is fulfilled in them that believe. Romans 8, 4. And the Elijah company, those who bear this purple mantle of his anointing, the mantle that Elijah wore, the overcomer will bear both the ephod and the mantle. This mantle of Elijah that was passed on to Elisha is passed on to each son of the sonship company. This royal purple mantle of his anointing shall not depart from them. Quote from the Vischer family homepage, overcomers.ca. Quote, prophecy, behold, yea, the Spirit of truth would speak, yea, unto thee. For thou hast been called to be a son of the Most High God. Fear thou not, for this mantle that I have placed upon thy shoulder, yea, even as the mantle was placed upon my servant Elijah, yea, and then Elisha, I say unto thee that I have called thee to be a part of the Elijah company. Yea, fear not, yea, the heat of the fire of the Holy Ghost that is burning within. For he is, yea, this consuming one, yea, that would consume those things that are not of the Spirit of thy Christ. For thy Savior has called thee with a high and a holy call. And I say unto thee that thou shalt choose to walk daily as a humble one. Yea, I shall cause a work to be done within thee, where thou hast not experienced this yet. But I say unto thee that I shall become intimate with thee. Thou shalt commune with thy Father in a greater and deeper way than thou hast heretofore. And I say unto thee, this communion is yea the deep, calling the deep within thy soul. End quote. Prophecy over Kenneth B. Visscher. The overcomer bears both symbolisms in spirit, in their walk, and in their testimony. If you would see them in spirit, you would see them in both ways. Some are more slanted to be of the Elijah company, some of the Moses company, but both complement the other and are his body in the earth in this hour. If you look back on your life, you can note the time when a decision came into your mind. You may even know the exact time and date. The decision was to follow the Lord, no matter what it costs you, and that God's will shall be completely done in your life, no matter what it costs you. I remember it as being a covenant in prayer, wherein I asked God to put me in truth and keep me in truth, no matter what it costs me personally. That is the high calling of God, brethren. This is what separates a son or daughter of God from Christendom. They will not fit into any scheme or system of man because they have now been set apart to minister to the Lord in the spirit of holiness, and in time to minister the same to humanity. The overcomer who thus allows the ephod and the mantle to abide upon them will not be sorry for the end, for they will inherit all things. Revelation 21:7. The application of the ephod and the mantle of his anointing is a noteworthy time in the life of a child of God. They will know when that happened, and that since they have been set aside by his hand. The enemy of our souls and our own carnal mind will lie to us and show us our failures. Our age and years may also condemn us in our thoughts. But the calling of God to overcome is based not on our failure or outward appearance, but on his righteousness and the sovereignty of God. Note this, God is applying the calling and successful conclusion of our walk as a sovereign act of his holiness. No one is worthy to say that they did something special or unique to be called an overcomer. They cannot boast or state that they were better than someone else. They are destined to, because the throne of God eternally ruling and reigning over creation forevermore. Yet they cannot boast of such a thing. They are set there because of God's mercy and calling, and no other reason. This calling is not displayed by any lack or success in our daily walk. It is a holy, sovereign thing known to God alone. Kenneth P. Visscher.